All right. Good morning, everybody. I will officially call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, March 14th, 2017, as the Story County Board of Supervisors moves decidedly into the 21st century. Either that or we're on an episode of Big Bang Theory. We welcome Loris Olson via Skype, and we will start, as we always do, honoring America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on today's agenda, as always, is public comment number one. It's an opportunity for members of the public to address topics on today's agenda. If there's anybody wishing to do so, please come on up. And seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll move on to agency reports. And today we have Raising Readers with us, Kim Hanna.
Hi.
Kim?
Hi,
Kim.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You have our report in front of you, so I just wanted to touch on a few highlights. Just a reminder that the mission of Raising Readers in Story County is to improve language and literacy development in children from birth to age 8 and to empower parents through parent-child relationships. With asset funding this past year, you funded some Thrive by Five programs and advocacy, and we just continue to expand our presence in Story County and what we're doing in the school districts that we're working with. One thing that's not on your report that I'd like to highlight is that our co-founder, Carolyn Johns, and Raising Readers in Story County was honored as part of the Hero Effect television docuseries on the Oprah Winfrey Network. Our episode aired this past Saturday morning at 9 a.m. It'll be shown again on April 8th at 9:30 in the morning if you have that channel. Not everybody does, but I think if you're a Dish subscriber, you definitely have it. It will be online in June. There were 10 heroes across the country that were honored with this television show, and they're releasing an episode every month. They started in November. So our episode will be on the Hero Effect website in June, and when that happens, we will announce it to the world so that people who don't have the channel can watch it. It will be on our website. It will be on our social media, so we'll share it with you as well so you can see it if you didn't get a chance this past Saturday. I just wanted to briefly highlight a couple of our programs that were directly funded through asset from the Story County Board of Supervisors this year. Our Story Pals preschool dialogic reading program is now in 3 school districts. We're in Ames, Nevada, and Colonesco. We added Colonesco in February, and we have 66 children currently enrolled in this program. The kiddos are matched with volunteers that come in once or twice a week, depending on the school district, to do dialogic reading activities, and this is with preschoolers, so it's really a way to get them started with their literacy development before they start school, so they're ready to learn to read when they start kindergarten. And we get the children that are in the program and are identified by their preschool teachers as being at risk, and so we get in with them as soon as possible. We also, in 2016, added Nevada to our Super K program. This is our transition to kindergarten program. It's a 2-week program in the summer. It's specifically for kiddos that haven't had preschool and have no idea what they're about to be getting into when they start kindergarten. But it's helpful for all children before they enter kindergarten. And it's everything from learning how to line up to go outside for recess, how to do stations, how to do snack time, how to open a milk carton. So if you've never opened a milk carton before and you're a teacher and you're trying to open 30 milk cartons for kindergartners, it can be a little bit hectic. So that's something that we do have at that program. We'll be in Nevada and Ames again this summer with that program. And then our Small Talk Story County program and our Raising a Reader program, which is our parent education program, has really expanded this year as well. And we've worked with over 50 families so far in Story County. It's a class for parents to increase their communication and understanding about how important it is to be talking to your baby and also talking back and forth with your baby. Even if your baby's talk is cooing and laughing, it's still a back and forth between parent and child. And we know that lower income families, children hear 30 million less words before kindergarten than middle and upper income families. So we really work hard to get families that don't have a lot of other access to family education and to our programs. And so we're excited. This is a research project. Also, we're partnered with the Ames Public Library and Iowa State University. And in the first year, we had over 50 families in the program. And our goal is 150 families in 3 years. So we're well on our way. We also expanded as a staff this year. We have one full-time executive director, myself. We have a three-quarter-time family literacy coordinator and a half-time family literacy coordinator, and that those were very necessary as we continue to expand out into the county. And we'll probably need to add another staff member in next year also as we continue to expand.
Talk a little about your volunteer hours.
Oh, yeah, that's something that is awesome, isn't it?
It is awesome.
In 2016, we had 419 volunteers report a total of 8,114.25 hours of volunteer time. In January 2017 alone, we had 51 volunteers donate a total of 91.25 hours. We're also excited, a program that was not funded this past year but will be funded next year through Asset Story County is our Read to Succeed program, which is putting books in the bags of children who get the backpack program, the food on the weekends. We added Colonesco and Collins Maxwell this year. So we have 309 students that we're serving with this program that receive a book three times a year. So that's very exciting as well.
So I was really pleased and fortunate that I served as a peer reviewer reviewing what is referred to as those who have applied to be All-American Cities and have Raising Reader type programs. And so I got to, at least in my mind, compare what we do here in Story County and how fortunate we are to have Raising Readers and Kim, you leading it, with the work that's being done in several other places around the country. And I'll tell you that we compare really, really favorably, and we're really, really fortunate to have this program and have you leading it.
Thank you.
Marty, any questions?
No, I'm sitting here smiling for the fact that Kim's done a lot of presentations and work in the Nevada District, and I'm glad to see, not surprising with Steve being the superintendent over there, he'd want to bring it into the Colonesco District. And on a quiet background, when you start doing the hard testing or fast testing, you sat there and you can point to the fact that what Kim and her organization is doing has a real interventive and tangible result to the positive, because not only do the kids serve that, I think on a role modeling basis, mentoring basis, you see families brought into the educational process, because sometimes they may have the children, but they don't necessarily know the do's and the don'ts and the rules of the road. And an organization like her, on the one-on-one basis, as you talked, gives them the opportunity to educate themselves in a way that their child's future is made brighter by. So it's, you know, I smile because Kim and I stared at each other on several meetings outside of this one. And the thing is, we are more than pleased. And my only question would be, I mean, are you looking to move your organization in any other districts in the county at this point?
We are, and we've also put our toolkit online. Our toolkit has been in the works for 3 years, and so that communities across the state and across the country can download it and figure out how to create a Raising Readers type organization in their own neighborhood. It went online on Friday, and we already know that it's been downloaded in New York, Georgia, Washington, D.C., and California. So we're excited to help spread. We are looking at expanding. Story Tells is really the greatest program to start in a school district, because we're starting them as preschoolers and then just working them all the way through third grade. So that's really the program that we're focused on bringing to another school district soon.
Now, you get past the traditional educational model as we understand it, and you have organizations working in the background that actually augment the likelihood of academic success, social success. And you can't thank these people enough, because they step up in a way they don't get the credit. They come into the quiet meetings like these, and you hope that it gets into the paper and the message gets out. But if somebody doesn't tell their story, they really don't get it out there. But we do appreciate, I know in this zip code, in this district, you made a difference, and I know parents that would tell me that they've made a difference.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Kim.
Yeah, every child that we have prepared to attend school, every child that we have who's reading at grade level as they advance through school, I mean, every study you see talks about the success that that has, not only on their life, but for society. And so thank you for the role you play. And all that. And I'm looking forward. I've got the episode of Heroes on my DVR. I'm looking forward to watching.
Oh, good. Yeah. Excellent.
So, Loris, are you with us, and do you have anything? Okay, she may be cutting in and out. So, Kim, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Considerations of minutes, Marty from the 7th. You guys look like you had a 5-minute meeting in my absence.
I would move consideration of the minutes.
I'll second. Any discussion or notations?
No.
Chief?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Olson? Not with us right now. Personnel actions as listed.
Move considerations of actions as listed.
Second. Any discussion?
None.
Chief?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes. Consent agenda as listed.
Move as presented.
And I'll second. Chief?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Consent agenda passes. Public hearing items. Introductions of elected officials and department heads. Don't need to introduce us up here. I see County Attorney Jessica Reynolds. I see Auditor Lucy Martin. Department heads. I see Leanne Harder in the back. I see Cal Pearson. I see Deb Shildroth.
Carla.
I see Carla Webb. Who am I? Brett McClain. Mike Cox. Jerry Moore. That's it for the department heads. So I think I've fulfilled that part of the agenda. And so now budget information, the incomparable Lisa Markley. Oh, Renee Tweet just joined us. Hi, Renee.
Good morning. Good morning. The culmination of how many months of work, finally, huh? Welcome to the proposed FY18 proposed budget hearing. The budget was published in all three newspapers as required by law on March 2nd. So it can be adopted today at what it was published at or lower. Those are the only two options. There are handouts available of this presentation and the presentation that I have on the website that we've already and that we have on our counter in the auditor's office.
This is Laura.
Hi, Laura, you're back with us.
Okay, thanks. I'm sorry, this didn't work out.
No problem. All right, Barkley is presenting to us. Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay.
Story County did see slight valuation increases. For countywide, we increased 3.77%, and for rural valuations, we increased 3.8%. The rollback is actually what your property is taxed on. So you have a valuation of $100,000. If you live in a residential area in Story County, you're taxed on 56.9. Agricultural, 47.5. Commercial and industrial is rolled back to 90% now, and then we do get commercial and industrial tax state replacements from the state. And the multi-residential is 82.5%. That has the most impact in Ames, obviously, with the multiple multi-residentials that they have there.
And until 3 years ago, those were all taxed at 100%.
100%, correct. Correct. For our budget this year, we held the work sessions in January. The audio is on the website for all of those work sessions if you have the desire to go back and listen to them. The salary adjustments are included in this for the 5 bargaining units that we have. Those were 2.5% or 3% in the contract or pay matrixes. There's a 2% cost of living adjustment for the non-union. And the health insurance premiums did increase by 9.7%. I think last I knew, Alyssa said we have 73% participation with health insurance right now. The asset contribution had an increase of 6.25% this year.
And that's our social services safety net for those that don't know what asset is.
The capital improvement plan is being presented to today's board meeting. This does include funding for secondary roads, for the Kelly facility, for Hickory Grove Sewer, for ISU Research Park, for Prairie Rail Trail Extension, Prairie Trail Rail, I don't know which way that goes, Dakin's Lake, Hickory Grove Shoreline, and the Animal Control Building Improvements. For economic development, we are continuing to fund for urban renewal for small communities and home-based Iowa. The departments did do a continue to do the goal of budgeting as close to actual as possible. The goal is to match revenue expenses to expenses without any significant use of fund balances, and we did so this year in the amount of $274,000 revenues higher than expenses. The Code of Iowa tells us how we can levy in certain different areas. The majority of the funding for our budget comes from the general fund, which is maxed at $3.50 per $1,000 of taxable value. In the countywide, obviously means every taxpayer in the county pays that. The supplemental fund in Story County, general supplemental is limited to certain mandated areas. Story County uses it for the FICA and IFRS of all the employees paid out of the general fund, for our health insurance, for emergency management agency, district court, chemical dependency, and election costs occasionally, but that excludes regular staff. The supplemental levy is increasing slightly by $170,000 this year, going from 0.899 per thousand to 0.907 per thousand.
That's the two. So the general fund and the general supplemental are the two that every property owner in Story County pays.
Correct.
Regardless of where you live.
As is the next one, the mental health. MHDS County Services Fund. This has a dollar limit. It's also on countywide, as I just said. For Story County, the maximum is $3,066,575 or $47.28 per capita. This is a regional decision. The regional board decided on a levy of 2.1 for Story County, which is a rate of a little over 50 cents per thousand. That's down from 51, 52-ish. The debt service is on countywide also, and it is this year at 18 cents. That is for the refinancing of those secondary roads bonds that we have out there. That is next year is the last year we will levy for those. Those are paid off next year in 2019.
And that's down again this year.
Yes. A little.
A little. Oh, yeah. So everything in here is little.
A little. The rural is on rural residents only, and it is a limit of $3.95 per $1,000. This year we're at $3 and right at 18 cents on that.
Which is where we've been for years.
Five or six, yes. Tax askings in this proposed budget are $857,000 higher than in FY17, but the overall levy is 1 cent lower, which is, again, the lowest since 2001 for levy.
Right, and higher than 17, but lower than 16.
Correct.
So tax askings are actually down from where they were 2 years ago.
Counties budget by service area for revenues and expenditures. The revenues we're proposing in this budget, a little over $39 million. Of that, 61% is coming from property taxes. 23% is coming from intergovernmental, which includes road use tax, state replacement taxes. That includes the commercial and industrial that I talked about. State and federal grants. We also get 5% from our local option sales tax, 7% for fees and services. We have 3% TIF revenue, and 1% of our budget comes from interest and rentals. Do you have a question, or are you just stretching?
I'm just stretching.
Perfect.
Well, thank you for noticing.
Well, that heavy sigh, sometimes people are like, oh.
I'm not a sigher, so I was just stretching.
As I said, we budget by service area, so this does show the service areas. For our expenditures of $38.7 million proposed in this budget, 31% of the expenditures for this budget are for public safety and legal services, which includes the sheriff and the attorney. 17% is roads and transportation, which is the secondary road department. 14% of this budget is classified as administration, and in administration includes all facilities management for all the buildings, info technology, Board of Supervisors, the county liability insurance, and the auditor and treasurer's management side of their services. 10% of our budget is for capital projects. That includes the road construction budget, TIF projects, and CIP projects. 10% is for county environment and education, which funds conservation, animal control, planning and development, IRVM, county libraries, and urban renewal projects. 7% is for health and social services. That includes our environmental health department, our community services department, the VA, juvenile courts, the DHS local office, and many of our asset services. 3% of our budget is governmental services, which include the recorder, auditor elections, and treasurer motor vehicle services. 5% for mental health services, that is local and regional costs for mental health services. And 3% is for bonded debt service payments. During the budget process, we talk a lot about the fund balances needs and why we have those needs. This represents the budgeted expenses and where they're funded. The general supplemental is the primary operating fund and has the largest overall expenditures. And the majority of the revenues come in September and March with the tax collections. The financial policy is to budget about a 25% ending fund balance for those two funds, and the proposed budget reflects a 35% fund balance. The regionalization of mental health has impacted, as you can see, the MHDS fund, and the expenditures at the local level have dropped substantially. The dollars levied in this fund are sent to the region, and expenses are paid at that level.
We're going to see that go back up again in the next 2 years. And that's the red line on the screen. We're going to see that thing start to trend back up, and probably dramatically back up.
Our rural and our secondary roads funds are fairly steady, so we can budget closer to a 20% ending fund balance, as those funds do have the monthly revenues, such as local option sales tax and the road use tax funds. This chart's for Rick. It's his favorite chart.
We've knocked off the previous years where it looked even worse.
I know.
The goal is to have the red line and the blue line as close together as possible, with preferably the blue line on the low side. If you let them get separated too much, you're either spending too much or not collecting enough. You take that chart back for 30 years, what does it look like?
I should do that sometime, shouldn't I?
It's just going to be a huge separation between mm-hmm. expenses and revenues, and we've been able to bring that back in line.
For the FY18 budget, the expenses are 3.2% higher than the FY17 adopted budget, and the revenues are 3.4% higher than the FY17 budget.
But both lower than 16 again.
Yeah. I'm showing the current year distribution of tax dollars by distribution of dollars by taxing authority. We'll take a look on the following slide at an individual tax statement and where your tax dollars go, but this gives you a snapshot of overall dollars generated by the taxing authorities in Story County. The schools get 46% of the dollars. The cities are next at 25%. County, it's about 17%, and then all other authorities are below 5%. The Story County chart is pretty comparable to statewide information from ISAC's 2017 financial overview. The schools levy at 42% on an average, cities at 29%, and counties at 22%, and the assessors at 1%. And I think our assessors are a little over 1%, about 1.2%.
But we're one of either 6 or 7 counties that have two assessors.
Two assessors, correct. Chose Nevada this year. It's always a crapshoot which authority I'm going to look at. When you come to pay the taxes in the treasurer's office, the breakdown of how those dollars are distributed is represented here. And I'm using the rate of resident today. This is based on last year's levy rates for all the other entities because their budgets are actually due in our office tomorrow. So we don't know for sure what all the levies are. The schools are not due until April 15th, so this is last year's. If you have a home assessed at $100,000, the taxable value, because of rollback, would be $56,900, and your annual taxes would be about almost $2,200. Of that, the Nevada school in this example would receive 44% of those dollars. City would get 38%, county 13%. The area school, which is DMAC in this case, would get 2%. And the other in there is 3%, and that includes Ag Extension, County Assessor, Story County Hospital, for that other $75 there. In rural Story County, your taxes would be $1,587. The taxable value there would be, what did I say, 40? If it's agricultural, it's rolled back to 47%. This is a Milford Township example and Nevada School District. Taxes would be $1,587. School, 60% of that. County, 30% of that. Township, 3%. Area school, 2%. And then your other taxing authorities, about 5%. And the other would be the same thing. Questions?
You done? It's a good budget.
Unless you have any questions.
Work hard to put it together. I'm really happy with where we end up. I thought this was going to be a tough budgeting year when we started it. It was a highly educational budgeting year with two new supervisors. felt like we really took our time and worked our way through it. I feel like it's a good, solid budget for the people of Story County, which takes care of the things that the county needs to take care of without asking for too much from the citizens in terms of what they're putting into it. I'm really, really proud that if you look at actual expenditures from 2008 through 2010, we were over $40.4 million. As a county, and if you look at our average budgeted expenditures for 16, 17, and now 18, if this is adopted, we're at $38,600,000. I think that shows great responsibility from Story County in the way we're dealing with the public's dollars. Marty, any questions for Lisa?
No, I think you hit it. For if Laura's is there with us, she can say as much. But the fact is, I appreciate all the budget direct department heads that took their time with us to involve us to the degree that we could as we did the process. Looking at when we started, we were $2 million underwater, and I really didn't think we were going to see daylight, but with a lot of hard work and commitment that came across the table, we got there. And I can't say how pleased I am for the fact that my suspicions going in, I'd bet you lunch that we weren't going to get there, but we did.
Yeah, and we weren't there a lot of the way through, and we found a way to get there. Loris, questions or comments?
No questions, and I agree with Marty, and I want to thank everyone for being so patient. It has to be frustrating sometimes to have moved kind of at our pace, the questions we asked, but I think we learned a lot, and I appreciate that. And once again, I just think Lisa does an excellent job.
Agree with that. Thanks, Loris. Okay, so if I'm reading our agenda correctly, our next step is to talk about the compensation board. Is that right?
That has to be approved before the budget.
Okay, so we talk about the compensation board, and then we'll open the public hearing talking about the overall budget. So as we talk about compensation board, Jessica, this has changed over the last couple of years, so I'm going to ask County Attorney Jessica Reynolds to come up and just talk the board through what we're doing with Resolution 1785. In terms of the comp board's recommendation.
Good morning, the Board of Supervisors. Can you hear me, Supervisor Olson?
I can, thank you.
Sure. I was asked to appear today to give an overview of Iowa law as it relates to the County Compensation Board's recommendations for elected officials' salaries and the authority of the Board of Supervisors. Iowa Code Section 331.907 governs the Board of Supervisors' legal authority over the salaries for elected officials and the recommendations that are made to the Board for to the Board of Supervisors by the County Compensation Board. That code section provides the following. One, the Board of Supervisors cannot approve more compensation than is recommended by the County Compensation Board. Two, the Board can choose to adopt the compensation as recommended by the County Compensation Board. Three, the Board can reduce the amount of recommended compensation. If the Board wishes to do so, it must reduce the amount of salary increase proposed for each elected county officer by an equal percentage. And so to illustrate this, an example would be, hypothetically, we'll use me as an example. Hypothetically, if the Board of Supervisors were to think that the County Compensation Board recommended too much of an increase for me, so let's say that you thought it was 2% too high, if you wanted to reduce my salary by 2%, you would need to do that across the board for all the elected officials. There is one exception in the code to this across the board decrease. The Board of Supervisors may reduce their own salaries without affecting the other elected official salaries, but only if they adopt a decrease in board salary no less than 3 days before the county budget is certified. So obviously that's not an option for this year because we certified the county budget today. And statutorily, the county budget shall be certified by tomorrow. So today, legally, your two options as a board are to either, one, adopt the County Compensation Board recommendations, or two, reduce the amount of recommended compensation across the board by an equal percentage that would apply to all elected officials. Are there any questions?
Jessica, let's talk for just a minute about the makeup of the compensation committee, compensation board. How are, that's seven individuals, how are they selected as laid out in code?
So each elected official selects their own county compensation board representative. So I selected my own representative and the other elected officials are the same. The Board of Supervisors has two elected representatives. So everyone has one except for the board who has two. And those are members of the community that come together and look at comparable salaries and represent the community in making recommendations for salaries to the Board of Supervisors.
And so the compensation board meets generally in January. That is a public meeting. There are minutes available to that meeting. This year, that group met, and I think I presented to them. Loris Olson presented to them. I recall Sheriff Fitzgerald presenting to them. I think that's the only three. Loris, do you remember anybody else presenting other than the three of us?
No, I don't.
They had really, really good, thorough conversations, I felt like, and came out with the recommendation we see before us in Resolution 1785. Marty, anything?
I guess knowing how this process exists and knowing a number of the people on them, I was surprised at the tenure that you have on this board. I mean, Tom Cahill alone has got 30-plus years of doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, collectively, we talk about how many years of service that we have in our elected officials. I think I don't know if anybody's done the math on what the compensation board has, but it would be probably surprising to the community as a whole. I know it is to me when you sit there and hear about when you go down the list, and that would be a number I'm surprised that you haven't found out.
Yeah, I haven't ever looked at it, but now I will, now that you mentioned it, putting it in my ear. So what the compensation commission looked at this year, and it's really varied over my, I guess this was my seventh or eighth time attending the compensation board hearing. It's really been across the board what they've looked at and how they've addressed it. This year, my perceptions of what they went through, they really looked closely at comparables. Story County right now is the seventh largest county, looked at comparables from the 10 largest counties in the state of Iowa, looked at comparables from the two counties immediately larger than Story County and immediately smaller than Story County. I think County Attorney Reynolds, you had some other comparables that, that were thrown in there. I think the sheriff had some other comparables that were thrown in there. I think really, really valid for the compensation committee to look at all those comparables. And they came out with a recommendation that I think attempts to put our elected officials in a position that, in fact, is comparable to others in like positions. And that's where their recommended salaries came from. They also rejoined, or at least their recommendation, rejoins the Board of Supervisors to the salary that our treasurer, auditor, recorder received. So in a few years ago, those got disjoined. They were put together in the mid-90s, and then they got disjoined, and it actually was set up so that two members of the Board of Supervisors were making a little bit less than the auditor, treasurer, recorder, and the chair of the Board of Supervisors was making a little bit more than the auditor, treasurer, recorder. Now they've recommended bringing all of those positions back together and earning the same thing for those elected positions. The county attorney and the sheriff both earn more than the other elected officials. I believe it's appropriate because both of them are specialized positions that require specialized training and education in order to achieve those positions, and looking at what the comparable payables are, I think is appropriate. Loris, anything to add or comments?
Yes, I do. I would like to reiterate what I said at the compensation board and add a bit. First of all, I view the makeup of the compensation board differently than possibly that it sounds like kind of the description is. I feel that what happens is that each person, each elected official gets an advocate. And I'd like to see the compensation board really made up of public citizens. But since each elected official appoints, with the exception of the Board of Supervisors, and then we jointly select appointees, my dream is never going to come true. So I feel that the public is not really represented there. The next thing is as I expressed, is that for I view the Board of Supervisors' job or position as a public service position rather than a long-term job, and so therefore I'm not necessarily comfortable with supervisors receiving such a large increase, and especially for us it's an 11.72% raise. The next issue I have in general with it, but I can't do anything about it, is that I'm glad to know that the law changed that supervisors could separate their salaries from those of their elected officials. Unfortunately, we have missed the 3-day window. So philosophically, I am uncomfortable with this situation, but I am not willing to reduce down the other elected officials' salaries by the same percentage point down to where I think we should be. I do believe that when we've given a 3% raise to the rest of county staff, pretty much either through union contracts or through just in our calculations for the non-union employees, that these percentages from 6.94% all the way up to 11.72% seem way out of line. With that, I will end my comments.
Yeah, and Loris, I appreciate that. I'll just say that I don't view an apples to apples comparison with what you just said, because when the county underwent our salary survey comparison for all of our positions countywide, we in fact made adjustments to those positions based on what we found beyond the cost of living increase that had been given to elected officials year over year. And this was the first year that that compensation commission, I think they really did a thorough job digging in and looking at what the comparables are in other counties. And why is it, if we're the seventh largest county, our recorder should be the 12th highest paid recorder? That does not seem equitable or right to me. And then as far as pointing out supervisors, 100% get where you're coming from. But I think I would ask you this question. Have you recognized that we here in Story County handle our supervisors a little differently in terms of expectations that we put on them than the other supervisors that we served on boards and commissions with?
I agree with that. We certainly are working full-time jobs. We do more policy making than day-to-day administration anymore because of the ability that we have, the appointments of some other staff. But I do agree that I certainly am working at least 40 hours a week, and there are some supervisors in counties that are not set up to work 40 hours a week. I think the comparables you put forward, Rick, all were within the top 10 or the 10 largest population-wise of the counties. And when you get in a situation where you're constantly taking an average of just 10, now we've upped significantly, so when the other counties go in to do the calculations next year, that average goes up, and then they raise theirs up. I see it as kind of this continually circular pattern to get into when you've got just 10 counties into the mix. But certainly, when you get below the 10 counties, you do have supervisors who are working mostly in what we consider more part-time roles, and they're filling full-time jobs, farming, or in some kind of job in the community also.
Yeah, and I would say even within those 10, Loris, there's only three counties that have the expectation of their supervisors that we have here in Story, and the other two are Polk and Lynn. And nobody else does have that expectation. And I think if you recall, the one thing I said to both you and Marty when you came on the board, my expectation of you was not that we would agree, was not that we would always see things eye to eye, but it was that we would always work as hard as the people of Story County have asked us to work as they laid this thing out.
I agree. Yes, you did, and I hope we're living up to that.
Well, I think we are, and I appreciate your perspective on this. Okay, further discussion.
I don't believe that had people had the opportunity to see the compensation board meeting. This discussion was had. Rick laid out the matrix that he and Wayne and Paul had worked to bring to pass, and the research that went into getting to the numbers that they have, the rationalizations to link it back up. Wayne Quinn and I had some long-ranging conversations as to why that, as I was transitioning off of my previous job into this role, how that in the mid to late 90s, Jane Halpern, in her time of leadership on the board, had moved the Story County supervisors from a part-time to a full-time position in regards to the responsibilities, duties, and expectations. We now, Loris and Rick, are beneficiaries of that attempt, and we have tried to live up to it, and I think in some respects we do and maybe even exceed that. So I realize what you're saying, Loris, on a dollar's value. It's easy to sit there and say, well, you moved yourself up to a position that's quite substantial in year over. But then again, we're one of three counties that has the desire to have full-time supervisors. And you have said it, you have seen it, and I have too, that we do a full-time job. And that's and I'm comfortable with what I watched, the dialogue that was taking place, this discussion. You know, your inputs were taken up by the compensation board, they were dealt with, they were discussed, and these are the renderings of that board.
Okay, anything further, any other comments on resolution 1785?
I have none.
I'd entertain a motion.
I would move to approve resolution 1785 as recommended by our compensation board.
Laura, do you want to second it?
I will go ahead and second it.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Further discussion?
None.
Chi?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Resolution 1785, setting the compensation schedule as recommended by the compensation board, passes. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you.
Sure.